But do you know how much I'm paying every single month in these loans?
I understand.
$707. Do you know how much of that actually goes into the loan itself?
Yes.
$64. The rest of that goes into interest. $643 goes into interest. Like, how does that even make sense? How is that even legal?
I understand.
This video is loaning money at interest, and that it is one of the biggest sins and problems in North America today. Plain and simple, it's a sin, and it is cursed by God. So, if you were a real country, you would make it illegal. Period. That's it. Make it illegal to start a business that loans money to people at interest. Done. That's what the Bible says, and that's what God wants. Don't argue with it. Just do it.
Usury is loaning someone money and charging them interest. That's what usury is. Now, in our modern vernacular, the word usury has changed meaning. Conveniently, for those who practice usury. See, usury today means you're charging an excessive interest rate above 29.99%. So if you're charging 30% plus, that's a crime, that's usury, and whatever. But that's not what the Bible defines as usury. Oh, no. The Bible defines any amount of interest being charged as usury. You say, prove it from the Bible. Okay.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Welcome to the Dean Show. How are you doing? And how are you doing?
I'm doing great, alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
It's Ramadan.
That's amazing.
We made it, huh?
We made it. It's already like 10, 11 days over. It's crazy.
Dr. Attar.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Attar Haq.
Haq, yes.
Coming in all the way from?
Dallas, Texas. The warm weather of Dallas, Texas, alhamdulillah.
Now, tell us, is this true? I mean, when I heard these staggering numbers, 44 million Americans are nearly one, these are the students now, are nearly 1.5 not billion or million, but trillion in debt?
Exactly. So actually $1.5 trillion of student debt is the second greatest debt in the U.S. And unfortunately, many, many Muslims are also part of these 44 million students that are in debt, subhanAllah. It's a very dangerous number, and it's going to have a really big impact on our economy soon.
I mean, those numbers, when you think about that, you say that, it's just mind-blowing. And now, how does that relate to what we're going to be talking about, that you ended up trying to make a difference and you started an organization? Was it because of, what's the name of your organization is?
A Continuous Charity.
So how does that connect now to this debt, this problem that we're having?
Yeah, so this student debt crisis, it's having a lot of repercussions. So A Continuous Charity is the first and only Muslim nonprofit organization that gives interest-free loans for college, university, and grad school. So we're not a bank, but a nonprofit organization that its sole goal is to promote education amongst the Muslims and to make it riba-free or interest-free. Mm-hmm. That's our main goal. Alhamdulillah, we started in June 2013. Alhamdulillah, we started with just a small kickoff kind of fundraiser at my father's house, and we'll get to his story a little bit later. But we were able to raise $50,000 at that night as like the seed money for the organization. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, 6 years later, now we've given over $1.5 million to Muslim students to help, again, promote education and to protect them from going to war with Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Do you think now the consequences, you know, it's interesting that how these words have changed, because many people, they're paying the interest, which is usury.
Yes, exactly.
And usually people play these games, you know, say, well, in the Quran it says usury, I'm paying interest.
Mm.
Have you heard these, you know, arguments? And
we've definitely heard these arguments. I feel that people are now kind of getting to understand exactly how bad student loans are, because it's not only affecting non-Muslims, but affecting their own children. And so they're now seeing the repercussions on their own children in this generation that has now become part of the higher education.
Yeah.
So it's definitely...
This clip now? Let's play this clip.
But do you know how much I'm paying every single month in these loans?
I understand.
$707. Do you know how much of that actually goes into the loan itself?
Yes.
$64. The rest of that goes into interest. $643 goes into interest. Like, how does that even make sense? How is that even legal?
I understand, sir, and we've tried to lower the payment for you.
It'll take me 30 years to pay this entire loan off, and even when I do, I'm paying triple the amount.
Sir, this is how all our loan payment schedules work. work.
So let me get this straight. You can't drink alcohol till you're 21, but you can get a $100,000 loan at 18? Explain that to me.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea what I was signing up for. My parents had never been to college, so they didn't know either.
I'm sorry.
And what's even worse is that they co-signed on my loan, so even if I can't pay you back, you're gonna go after them.
I'm truly sorry to say this, sir, but this is just how these loans are.
I mean, even if I die, you guys are still gonna come after them. This does. I can't even get married, man. I can't even buy a car. I can't even buy a house. I can't do anything to move forward. My life is frozen. I feel like I'm in a prison. These loans have taken over my life. I feel like there's just no way out anymore. Please. There's gotta be something you guys can do. I mean, just gotta be a way.
I'm truly sorry to say this, sir, but this is just how these loans are. And you will have to pay them back.
Is this clip, did you guys put this together where you have this student, he's calling in to have some mercy from the people?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is actually a true story. So it's a true story, and we reenacted the scene, but it's a true story, subhanAllah. And it's really sad to see how much student debt or debt in general can impact not only your health but your mental health. And this, I think, is a really good example of what it'll
tell us about this story. Did you know you knew the brother?
So I didn't know the story. I didn't know the brother personally, but we, you know, just doing a lot of different research, going to different websites, reading about different people in their debt situations. And this is just one of the stories.
So this is just an American.
This is a regular student, American citizen who going to school in the Western society and seeing how difficult it is to come out of any kind of debt. And not only that does it impact his immediate life and just how he feels, but him getting married, his parents who are co-signers on the loans. I mean, it affects not just you, but your family, your future wife, your children, mm-hmm. and all the decisions that you make for into the future.
Seems like people, you're chasing this dream that's painted, mm-hmm. and at any cost you want to get it. And obviously there's nothing wrong. You want to be the best in your field. You want mm-hmm. to get an education, but at what expense now? And sure. now it's the beauty of this deen is that we have these perimeters, you know, exactly. these guidelines that we live by. Sure. And it's for our protection, for our well-being. So you go out of those, and now you can see, mm-hmm. like from this story, this student now, okay, yeah, he gets the education, but he is enslaved.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's done. I mean, he can't, like, now it just compounded interest upon compounded, and then mm-hmm. now what turned out to be, what would you estimate something, an average student loan is?
I mean, so right now it really depends from graduate school to, like, just regular bachelor. So you're talking about between $28,000 all the way to even $40,000 or $50,000 for a graduate school, and even, like, if you're talking about law school, medical school, we're talking about $128,000 on average for these people to come out of. So you're going to eventually be enslaved, like you said, enslaved to these debts that you're going to pay over 10 or 15, 20 years and eventually paying two or three times its actual amount that you got out from the bank initially.
Okay, to simplify it, so you get a loan for $100,000 at the end now, like he said in the video, I'm paying monthly. What was he saying? He was paying like only, it was like 90% was going towards, if I'm
just the interest.
Just the interest.
Exactly. And the way these banks are is they will front load the interest. So you'll start paying only the interest and then eventually you'll get to the principal. So it's a really difficult situation. So if you can't pay these debts off immediately, or like you said, having an interest-free debt, then you're not paying almost anything to the principal amount. And you'll see that number stay exactly the same. Even though you're paying $700, $800 a month, that principal will stay the same, unfortunately.
So now if you get a loan for $100,000 at the end, when you finally, if you mm-hmm. do make it to paying it off, then what is it? It triples, quadruples, what is it?
So it depends on how aggressive you are, but yeah. generally what we'll see is that at least two to three times more you'll pay off, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it also depends on the interest rate you get. On general, we're talking between 6 and 8% is what we're seeing now. But in the past, interest rates were much lower. But unfortunately, with the availability of getting loans, these interest rates, and the need for getting it, at least the perceived need of getting a higher education, these interest rates have definitely climbed.
It's interesting when you look... When you go back in time and history, mm-hmm. you had the church had forbidden this. Mm-hmm. This was something that was outlawed. Sure. You had, philosophers were talking about this. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't even bring up the Quran mm-hmm. or the Sunnah, but you had people, wise people of the past.
Sure.
They were warning against this, and it was outlawed at one time.
Yeah.
You know the history about this?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's amazing how Islam in general has this ability to protect us, not from our spiritual bodies, our health, and even from a financial, it's a complete way of life. And Allah, like you said, even if we don't need to talk about Quran, Sunnah, and Allah, But just in the fact that, like, Allah has made this religion complete and perfect, and it takes care of every single facet of our life. And this is just one of the negatives that people are now delving into so much interest, that is, that it's now affecting us in a really awful way, subhanAllah.
I can't imagine, because truly when you live debt-free, you do live a free human being. I mean, when you're shackled, you know, when this is shackled by something like this over your head, and what happens if you die now? Let's say if you die, or if you declare bankruptcy, what happens?
So that's a really good question. So student loans, unfortunately, it's such a predator type system. I mean, any other debt, like if you go into debt from with your house, your car, you can declare bankruptcy and they'll just wipe that away. But with student debt, it's unfortunate. Like, you can't just declare bankruptcy and they'll wipe away your debt. They'll go after you. They'll go after your job. They'll go after your parents. I mean, it's a really, the only way you can really get rid of it is if you die. And it's a terrible system. And it's so sad that students are trying to benefit themselves, but not benefit themselves, but their families, future generations, and the society. But the society, in particular, these banks and the government are taking advantage of them. And these people who are in, like, the prime of their life, and they're unable to get out of this debt, and it, like I said, affects, like, not even just their health, but their decisions they make on a daily basis. It's a really sad situation, subhanAllah.
I mean, this is criminal.
I mean, it definitely is.
Just to put it, like, black and white, straightforward, this is criminal. And that's why, in the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah, the Quran, that's why there's such a harsh, language, you know, condemning this and really having people, putting fear, you know, into the person that's living by this, by the guidance of the Creator, to stay far away from it. Don't indulge in it.
For sure.
So we're giving some points where, like, the person in the video, which is linked back to a true story, he was like, I was young. I didn't know. He's like, you have to be 21 to buy alcohol, but you let me get this loan, sign my life away pretty much to be indebted at 18.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's great. And I think one of the things that our organization, A Continuous Charity, does is to provide education for these students who are, maybe they might be the first person in their family going to college, and their parents are maybe immigrants, and they don't know the college system, the higher education system in the U.S. So we try to provide education on which is the best, how is the best way to go to school, interest-free, and even if we can make it debt-free, let's make it debt-free. Even if it's interest-free debt, but no debt is better, right? So we try to provide education about how to get scholarships, how to apply to FAFSA, how to get Pell Grants, different things, because at the end of the day, you want to get your education and you want to start your life. You don't want to then have to go back and be enslaved to your financial decisions you made at the age of 18 for the next 30 years of your life. You want to kind of move on. And so that's some of the education that we do with our nonprofit, A Continuous Charity, is to help these kids make the best financial decisions, even though they're, 18, 19, and maybe don't have the best experience.
How did you make it? Because you're a medical doctor.
Yes.
Or profession. So you had to go through this. How did you get through all this?
So, that's a really great question. And subhanAllah, it really goes back to my father. My father, at a very young age, was instilling education into us. And I guess it's part of, like, the Indian-Pakistani culture is you have to be an engineer or a doctor. So he actually grew up in India in poverty. He used to say that he used to study under the streetlights. So he had to, he had a really difficult time. But alhamdulillah, he was able to, surpass that, go to medical school in India, eventually come to the U.S., do residency, and now, mashallah, is a full-time, critical care doctor. And he's been able to provide so much for his family and even his extended family. So since he had that experience, he was then, impressing that upon us. And because he impressed that upon us, we have, it really just sparked why I wanted to make this organization, A Continuous Charity. It was the lessons from my father. And on top of that, it was just what we see in society, like you said. Like, we see, I used to do a lot of youth groups in San Diego. We had a lot of Somalian refugees, a lot of Afghan refugees. And, they had no guidance. They didn't know what to do, how to go to school. They were kind of doing dead-end jobs. But they were so educated in the sense of, like, they were very intelligent is what I meant to say. They're very intelligent, hardworking, dedicated, even more so than myself. So it really inspired myself and my team to make this organization and to make it a reality for other people to get higher education without having to get into interest-based debt.
So your father, I mean, so he helped you now. That's interesting. You said studying under the lights. Mm-hmm. Street lights.
Yeah, the street lights, yeah. I mean, subhanAllah, in India at that time, his father had passed away when he was younger. Yeah. So it was just, he had him and he had like six brothers and sisters. Yeah. So the brothers had to work. And they would always try to get him to work because he's like, hey, you need to support the family. Your mom's at home. We don't have that much food. But he's like, no, I have a vision that education will bring us out of this darkness, that's out of this poverty. And they were working, you know, they're bicycling, delivering newspapers, delivering food, whatever it might be. But he's like, no, you guys, I'm going to study, and I promise you this will pay dividends in the future. Yeah. And subhanAllah, after, even though it took 20 or 30 years, now my entire family is living here in the U.S. They all have migrated here and have been living better, prosperous lives, not only just from financially, but even Islamically as well. So he was 100% right that education can change the trajectory of your family in a giant entire generation.
Point that out. So how did they get around this again? The falling into this deep debt.
The way that I avoided it, yeah. I forgot that was the initial question that you had. So my father, being a physician, wanted me to also become a physician, and I was telling him, listen, it's okay for me to become a physician, but I'm not going to go into interest-based debt just to, you know, satisfy your dreams. So I told him, hey, if you want me to become a doctor, you're going to have to pay for it. And then he was like, I really want to become a doctor. So he ended up paying for it. And I think that's a nice for me also to start the organization, because for me, Allah had blessed me. I had no decision on who my parents are going to be, right? But Allah put me and chose me in a particular situation where my father's a doctor and my mom's also a doctor as well. So they were able to financially support all of their children and send them to medical school.
Falling in that riba, usury, interest trap.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Yeah, subhanAllah. So it was a really big benefit for me. What a blessing. Yeah, huge blessing. And so I felt like, you know, there are people out there that are smarter than me, that are more dedicated than me, that have so much more desire to help themselves, help their family. So I'm like, well, Allah put me in a situation where I didn't have to go through that, but it wasn't anything that I did myself. So let me try to bring that to other people as much as I can. And that's kind of what our team, what our goal was for the team that we created. And alhamdulillah, now 6 years later, alhamdulillah, we're trying to do our best to alleviate this stress from other people.
I mean, it doesn't stop there. And this is good that people, anybody, I want anybody who is considering getting a student loan, somebody who is in the state of higher education now, mm-hmm. and they have to consider that, they, God willing, they can watch this episode and now really get to ponder and think some more, because we're bringing some very valid, crucial points. The next thing that is linked to this debt is suicide, depression. Mm-hmm. You talked about some of the numbers there, that you have the direct result of this, is now what happens from there. Suicide, depression, these things.
So definitely, I mean, there's a lot of research that not only our team is doing, but obviously bigger organizations that have done in the last 20, 30 years and shown that debt in general. So we were saying that mortgage debt being number one, then student loans, and then I think credit cards, and then cars in general are the biggest debt in the US. So just being in debt in general, like, and you'll see on this video that it not only affects your health, but it affects your mental health. So we have seen an increase in depression. We've seen an increase in suicide. Even in Chicago, I think within the last 6 months, there was actually a person who specifically committed suicide because of the debt that they were suffering from going to school. I mean, and it's a staggering number. I mean, one death enough from suicide from a financial reason, I mean, it is such a significant, such an impactful thing. And we think as Muslims, sometimes we live in a bubble. But unfortunately, this bubble has been popped a long time ago. So that same effect that non-Muslim Americans see, Muslim Americans are seeing that as well. So we're definitely being affected by this financial burden called interest or interest-based debt because of student loans.
When you go deep into this, you see that this is just another point of reference pointing to that indeed Islam, this deen, is from the Creator, that this is another proof. Someone says, how is that, Eddie? Because why would this man, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, not only brought on his astounding character, you know, pristine character, a believable message, connecting with all the other messengers that brought the same message, the worship of the Creator, not the creation, pure monotheism. But now, at the same time, he's bringing the Quran, the ultimate proof. But in there, why would he, if he wants to gain followers, he's going to prohibit alcohol. Mm. He's going to prohibit fornication. He's going to, you know, prohibit these things in life that people gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. They want to enjoy. And now, on top of that, interest.
Mm-hmm, true.
Why would he do that, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
True. I mean, it's a like you said, proof in itself. This is a complete message. It comes from the Creator who knows us in and out, what's good for us, what's bad for us, not only just from, like I said, from a spiritual perspective, but in all realms of our life, including finances.
It doesn't make sense. Now, you know, fasting 30, you know, where we're at right now in Ramadan. But for each one of these, if you look at from pork, tell us something from a medical perspective. I mean, these are the things that at that time when it was prohibited, we didn't have scientific facts now of the health. You know, you get one of these worms in your brain.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, especially now with, especially back in the day when they didn't have as like maybe sanitary conditions and they weren't cooking the meat as much and you don't have like this, the idea of microbiology and things of that nature. Yeah, for sure.
I was reading an article on CNN. Mm. It's like, you know, you take even many Christians are coming out and speaking against, and I'm going to correlate this with what we're talking about here, the interest specifically, but with pork, we posted an article, and I don't know how anyone, it was from a Christian. No. It's actually from Dr. Axe. Have you had her?
Dr. No, Axe? No, I don't know.
He's one of the leading nutritionists in the States. He's a Christian, and he gives all of the common arguments that someone might have on why they might eat pork. The main thing is if it's undercooked, then the chances are so high of having a health disaster. But, you know, he even addresses that. Okay, so that's one thing. The alcohol. Mm. The World Health Organization estimates that every 10 seconds someone is dying from this drug, alcohol. Mm-hmm. So again, now we start to see things unfolding of the love that Allah has towards us. So exactly. Why certain things are prohibited.
Exactly.
Fasting, look, all the health benefits. Mm-hmm. I'm sure now you know as a medical doctor.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All, so many health benefits. Many are even, there's new research now of it fighting cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about now the harm of interest.
Yeah.
Protecting humanity.
Exactly. SubhanAllah. Yeah. That's amazing. I'm beautiful religion. Obviously, perfect.
Yeah.
In all aspects, SubhanAllah.
So how do people now get involved? So this is, you're offering a alternative. So we take away, you'll take away the alcohol. And you give them all these beautiful smoothies, and you give them all of these nutritional drinks, right?
Yeah.
You take away the pig, and you have all these different beautiful meats. You got lamb, you got beef, you got, you know, sushi. You got all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Now you take away this interest. What are you giving them?
It's a good point. So we are basically offering interest-free loans for higher education. And SubhanAllah, like, I feel this organization, it's almost like a David and Goliath type situation. We have this Goliath of interest-based loans that you can get it anywhere, it's everywhere, it's freely available, you can get it at any age you want to. It's almost like you said, like alcohol, like drugs, you know, it's very easily accessible. And this other alternative, we're trying to change the system. You know, we're trying to be that underdog that's trying to then overcome this huge obstacle that's lying in front of us. And as an organization, alhamdulillah, even though we've given, like you said, $1.5 million in interest-free loans, and while that seems like $1.5 trillion, you know, it's less than 1% of the whole pool of interest-based debt, unfortunately. But we're trying to work together slowly to mount a big response or a huge response against this entire system. Mm-hmm. So that what we're offering these people is better, not only just interest-free loans, because that's one thing, but we're offering education, how to go to school. We're offering, by taking an interest-free loan, you're going to negate all of those negative stigma that comes with interest-based debt, that every time you pay this monthly payment, like you'll see in the video, 90% of it will go to the interest-bearing. You'll be able to have your payments on time. You won't have that mental stress. I mean, there's so many benefits to, like you said, following the religion of the one creator God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by taking an interest-free debt.
I've seen people try to collect money to pay off somebody's loan. I know a medical doctors who have completed a school, and then I've seen some of these statements that they have of debt. I believe it was almost $400,000.
That's crazy.
You are enslaved, and you're still trying. The person still cannot get a job.
Yeah.
They're still trying to. They finish, you know, the residency, but it's not just like, okay, you're guaranteed you're going to get in. And now this debt is still coming in, and you're not paying it. And now it's compounding. And it's, you're just digging a deeper hole,
exactly.
And now you just end up, now you get the job and you're working like, it's no easy job being a doctor.
Yeah, it's not.
They work you like a slave in and of itself.
that's true.
Right?
You get it from one way, then you get it from the other person.
And now you got this debt, and what if you die on that? Now?
Yeah.
You're working, and finally, let's say you pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
You pay it off. You finally pay it off. And now your health goes bad.
Yeah, right.
Right. And now all that money's coming in,
yeah,
right? That you're finally starting to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to go pay off, you know, bills for to try to regain that health that was caused by this stress.
Yeah, that's true.
Of this interest-based loan. Or maybe the worst case, now you die in that state.
Exactly. And
now you got to go to war with Allah.
With Allah. Yeah. And one of the things I think people, and it's hard to really, I guess, see the benefit of blessings or barakah, or what we call in English blessings of your wealth. One of the things that God does is when you get your wealth from a a sacred source, or if you get it from a halal or acceptable means, that there's an added element of barak or blessing that comes with your money. And that's something you can't really rate on a scale, something you can't really count. But in essence, if you get your wealth or your education is based off interest-based loans where that is going against the word of God, that it will then suck out all of that blessing and extra barakah that you have in your wealth. And like you said, you'll have the stress, you'll be finding you might be making a bunch of money, but where's all the money going? You might not only just be going to the debt, but you might be losing this, your car might break down, your house might be on fire. I mean, it's amazing what can happen. And the stories that we've heard of people who have been, like you said, debt-free, interest-free, I mean, the extent that their dollar can go is like, you know, they'll spend a dollar, it'll be like $10 or $15, just because God will put blessing into their wealth because they chose not to disobey the words of God.
That's deep right there. What motivated you? What got you to a point? I mean, really, that you stood up and you told your parents that, look, if you want me to go, you got to pay for this. I mean, you obviously, you were committed to your deen. Mm-hmm. What got you to that state?
You know, I mean, there's not a single thing that I did to deserve what in the situation I'm in now. Allah has really blessed me and guided me to the path, inshallah, may Allah continue to guide all of us to the straight path. But, you know, I think when I was younger in college, you know, I had like an MSA, and then they were influenced. I felt like influenced in the right direction, and we definitely listened to some lectures. And you know, it's just really, truly, I mean, there's nothing really I can pinpoint other than just a blessing of Allah. He chose to put me on this path, and inshallah, I'll be able to preserve this path and continue to move in.
What was it about Islam? Obviously, like, you know, you get to go into school now, you get to study, you get, you know, tested, you know, people, usually you go in that academic setting. Mm-hmm. It's the da'wah is to pull you away from a creator, from a deen, from this system, right? You don't say religion, because Islam is more than that.
Exactly.
So it's a complete way of life. I'm sure you were tested. You went through, you know, many tests. And many do go through these tests and they fail, right? They drop off, you know, they leave. Sure. But what kept you committed to this deen? You mentioned this, but what were some of the, because we know this deen, Islam, is based on proof. It's proof and evidence. It's not just blind commitment, right?
For sure.
What were some of the things that you look back at and you saw that it confirmed you making a conscious decision that Islam is indeed from the Creator?
You know, that's a good question. And I come from a family who, you know, we're Muslim by birth, but maybe not the most practicing Muslims. You know, we definitely pray and fast in Ramadan, but outside of Ramadan, maybe you might confuse us with just the average American, right? So I think when I was 19, actually, I specifically remember I was down on myself. I was in a situation where I really had to choose which direction I wanted to head, you know, and I felt like I really turned to Allah and made a conscious decision of like, hey, you know, I was born a Muslim, and maybe I was born a Muslim for a reason, and I really got to, you know, stick with my principles. And I think when I was 19, I specifically remember it was like I was in summer school as a UCLA, and I was a little bit living by myself. It was I was really in a tough place, you know, like no one really wants to be themselves, eating by themselves, and always doing things by themselves, and it really was a time for like personal reflection. And I think based off of the decisions that I made at that time, I really felt that Allah had opened up the doors for me. And, you know, Allah opens up a door for you and you take it, He'll open up another door of good. And if Allah opens up a door of bad and you take that door of bad, there might be another 1,000 doors that He could open up for you potentially. So I felt like since I chose to follow the path of Allah and the path of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that Allah continued to open doors of good. And this is just one of those that I felt that I could give back to the community. And so alhamdulillah, this path after starting this organization has been really truly blessed. And even though we've met obstacles with myself and my team, I have alhamdulillah a great team, I felt like we were able to overcome those obstacles and you know, continue to push forward.
You know, the worst things not the worst things, but a sad thing when I go and I see a group of doctors and they're drinking Coca-Cola and they're eating all these, you know, fake foods. Yeah. You're not one of those, are
no,
you?
No, I'm definitely not. Just water for me.
But how the reason I bring this up is because I heard also that you're into nutrition. You also train Gracie's Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
is that right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I felt like, I mean, it's amazing that I think a lot of us, we like to invest into like, you know, a great car and a great house. But just I think the importance of what you're putting inside of your own body is equally and of more importance. So definitely I think nutrition is a huge factor in staying healthy. In living like an Islamic lifestyle, I think it's part of what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were to have wanted us to do is eat healthy, eat right, eat correct. And I think definitely like, you know, these fake foods, like you said, Coke and all this fast food places. It's really like destroying our health. And you can see the epidemic of like diabetes and just bad health, increase the rates of cancer, even amongst the young. I mean, and things that we see in the hospital, it's amazing. And you were mentioning about alcohol being a drug. I mean, there's so many people that I see in the hospital that have just end organ damage from alcohol.
What's that called? They have what? End organ damage?
Yeah, so like whether it's their kidneys, whether it's their liver, whether it's
from alcohol.
From alcohol, specifically from alcohol. It's amazing. Once they get to a certain level of, like, for instance, it's called cirrhosis, like death of the liver almost. I mean, these people are in and out of the hospital, and we, oh, you know, the wind can blow the wrong way, and they can end up in the hospital and die. Yeah. You know, it's such a sad situation. But I think this goes back to the point of this deen being a complete way of life. And Allah and the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, are wanting us to, you know, part of that is just nutrition, eating correctly and staying healthy. And, you know, and that includes exercise and doing jiu-jitsu, soccer, whatever it might be. But just like keeping active, keeping healthy.
Yeah, that's deep. Why do you think that doctors in medical school, they don't learn about nutrition? You have to go outside it most likely, right?
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, that's good. So I feel like, unfortunately, there is a general track of knowledge that people want you to follow. And I think it's all comes back to money, because eventually, like, this allopathic school of medicine is going to, you're going to be reimbursed for the evidence-based guidelines that you follow, these protocols that you follow. And because of that, if you were to vein outside and something were to happen, you actually might get in trouble, might lose your license, because they're like, hey, this is what everybody's doing, and your peers are doing this, and now you've done that, and now, like, look, this bad outcome happened. Even though if you do this, a lot of bad outcomes happen as well. But just because everybody's doing that, it makes it easier to, you know, prove, well, everybody else will do it, and it's just part of it. It's just a regular complication. But if you were to do something outside of that, you know, it could become, you know, you could lose your medical license, for instance. So there's a lot of people are obviously not going to do that because they work so hard to get their license in the first place.
I've heard from many experts in the field that, you know, you have a lot of evidence-based science behind many things, but it takes years, almost like 17 years, where it trickles down into the conventional system. Like, how you have so much research now on being done, proven scientific research on what we're doing today on fasting. Sure. But you don't see any doctors. You come to the hospital, you tell me, go fast.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's science behind it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 100%. I think, unfortunately, like, the way that the U.S., at least the Western medical society is that we want to treat everything with a pill. And don't get me wrong, that there is definitely a financial benefit from the pharmacy companies that, like, they don't want to study, necessarily put too much money into benefits of fasting or eating correctly, because they know the American people would like to eat what they want, do what they want, just take a pill. And then that they'll benefit from that. American people will get some, you know, some that quick satisfaction that they can get from eating whatever they want.
Yeah.
So it's a really sad circle, unfortunately, but that's kind of the system that we're in. And living in the 21st century, I mean, it's hard to break that cycle and move outward without having, like you said, facing some other difficulties.
Well, I can go on and on there. This is a whole different topic, but this is important. I mean, like, you know, Hippocrates has said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food.
True.
Because doctors take that Hippocratic oath, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he was like the father of medicine, they say, right?
That's what they say.
So this is, and this goes in line with the Sunnah. This goes in way, you know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, is telling us. There's one thing between eating halal, but people have gone away. They don't even reflect with tayyibat.
Yeah.
That God Almighty Allah is saying, eat of the tayyibat, the good foods.
Good food, exactly.
Yeah, and the good foods are not the fake foods,
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
so, true. And then also, talking about exercise, doing some jiu-jitsu sports, you know. And then, but now, really, as a student, stress, eliminating stress, and you're not going to eliminate stress if you have enslaved yourself to this debt.
Exactly. I mean, the only way to eliminate all types of stress in your life is to enslave yourself to Allah and to follow His rules and His regulations. And by taking interest-based debt, especially, and I'm not blaming anybody, because really, it's not an individual fault, it's a societal level. Like, as a Muslim community and as an American community, we have to understand that these students are not just educating themselves so they can become rich in the future, but they're educating themselves so they can help their children, their families for generations to come, and the society themselves. I mean, how much benefit has our American society seen just from the benefits of people going to school and then finding the new novel innovations and making things better than they were in the past? And unfortunately, we've gotten to the point where we're then crippling them with this debt, and that prevents so many people from then, you know, going out. Like, say they have a certain job, well, they have to work extra at their job so they can pay their debt off and pay their bills, and they're not able to go out and volunteer. You know, they're not able to go to help build someone's house, rebuild someone's house, or do community service work. It becomes very difficult, very stressful. And so, unfortunately, we're in the system, and our organization, A Continuous Charity, is trying to revamp that and to make a difference in people's lives by providing, giving them the ability to live a life of, you know, of interest, an interest-free life. And that's really what our goal is as a religion. diligent is to really live like an interest-free life, at least from a financial perspective. And mm-hmm. alhamdulillah, we've seen a lot of benefit from our recipients.
I like it. We'll end with that. Enslave yourself to the one who created you, to the Creator, God Almighty, Allah. And then you live by the guidance, and you have, that's how you have trust. Exactly. You trust and you obey. And now knowing that anything that's harmful for us, it's been prohibited for a reason. Mm-hmm. Is there any good books or anything else that someone can now, because a lot of times things, someone can be really, you know, academically savvy and they're smart, mm-hmm. but a lot of times when you don't go down these rabbit holes, you don't look into this specific thing, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of this is now new for someone. And mm-hmm. Is there a direction you can point them and they can look further into this? Because you have a lot of not yet Muslims, non-Muslims out there who you know, there's a really great interview by a book called Confessions of a Economic Hitman. Mm-hmm. This is one. Is there anything else that you recommend someone read or to get more educated in this area on interest?
Yeah, definitely good question. So I think on our website, actually, we have different resources for people to use.
That.
Yeah. So if you go to acceducate.org, so again, acceducate.org, you can find a list of resources, not only just about reading about these kind of things, but specifically about education and even going to scholarships and other interest-free loans. And, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we can offer just from our website. And if you contact us through the website as well, we can also provide different information as well. We actually have a Launch Good campaign as well this year. So launchgood.com/interest-free. You can also learn more about our organization at that website and, you know, get more resources as well to hopefully then take yourself out of this interest-based life to an interest-free life, therefore, you know, submitting yourself to the one and only Creator.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was very nice meeting you.
Real nice having you on the program. Thank you. And thank you guys for tuning in. And it's in your interest to go ahead and not just attach yourself to something that's temporary, but something that's permanent, and that's Jannah. And you have the guidance here, and we touched upon some of the wisdoms. And from there, inshallah, you can go ahead and leave some of your takeaways in the comments below. Subscribe to get more of our programs sent to you. Inshallah, God willing, have a blessed Ramadan, and we'll see you next time. Tune in every week here at The Dean Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.